idea of our Savior rising. It wasn't on this specific day. We celebrate as Christians the Lord's resurrection every week. And that's what our... I'm glad that the world gives Jesus an extra little thought. I'm glad. But as far as a holiday, and I'm not saying, you know, don't hide eggs and have chocolate bunnies and stuff like that. I love chocolate bunnies. I love those little marshmallow peeps. But that's one of my weaknesses. But I'm not saying don't have those things. But we celebrate the resurrection each and every Lord's Day. And I'm glad that the world at least gives Jesus an extra moment of thought that might open a door for us to be able to teach them properly. A couple of months ago, we did a sermon, kind of the approach. It was on worship, kind of the who, what, when, where, why of worship. And I'd like to do a similar approach today with the Lord's Supper. We sometimes refer to it as communion, where we are communing with God. We are communing with each other. We are communing with our Lord when we partake of the Lord's Supper. We did it just a few moments ago. And I would like for us to Preston read the scripture in the letter by Peter about be ready to give a defense when people ask you. It was specifically asking for our hope, you know, of salvation. But we need to have that attitude of being ready to give a defense for everything we do. When our children ask us, Mommy, why do we eat the cracker? Why do we drink juice? Where we can tell them. When maybe we get a visitor from a religious body that does not partake in communion, and it's foreign to them, where we can give that ready defense of why we do what we do. And of course, no place for, in my opinion or I think or I feel, straight from the Word of God. In 1 Corinthians, Paul explains the Lord's Supper. And this is a passage that we use quite often when men are conducting the Lord's Supper. Oftentimes we will turn to this to read. I'd like for us to read 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 23. This is Paul writing. He says, "For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes.'" We use that scripture quite often in reference to the Lord's Supper. Like to look at what is the Lord's Supper. It is a memorial. You know, we're used to memorials. People in general are used to memorials. Shrines that commemorate a battle. A museum that brings remembrances of different events. Here in the United States, you know, we have a lot of them. The Lord's Supper is a memorial for us to remember. The Lord's Supper was not brand new in this idea of a religious memorial and remembrance. in Joshua chapter 4, the Israelites were commanded, after they had wandered in the wilderness and as they crossed the Jordan to the promised land, they were commanded to a member of each tribe, take a stone across with you and make a memorial. And in verse 7 it says, and these stones shall be a memorial to the children of Israel forever. And earlier in the passage, Joshua says, or God tells Joshua, when your children ask what these are for, you will be able to tell them. When people go to Washington, D.C., and they see the Lincoln Memorial, and people ask, what is this about? We can tell them. Or the Park Service people can tell them. Or what is this Washington Monument about? Who was it for? When the children of Israel, God wanted them to remember that He had brought them out of slavery in Egypt, that He was with them every step of the way in the wilderness. And now you make a memorial, you stack these stones, and when people in future generations ask you, what is this for? You can tell them. So this idea of a memorial is not new. Matthew 26, verse 17 says, now on the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus, saying to him, where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover? The Passover was a memorial. They had been keeping it from the evening before the Israelites left Egypt. And they would remember this, that the Lord their God did this for them. And they were still keeping that in Jesus' day. It was important. Jesus kept it. The disciples want to know, where do you want us to prepare for you to take the Passover? The Passover, which is explained in Exodus 12, it was a sacrifice. God told the Israelites to sacrifice a lamb, smear the blood over their doorpost, because the angel of the Lord was going to kill the firstborn. And the angel of the Lord would pass over the homes that the sacrificial blood was smeared on. The lamb had to be without blemish. Are you seeing some symbolism here? They would, one of the things they would eat in the Passover was unleavened bread, because they didn't have time for the dough to rise. Because take it in haste, God told them. But the Passover was a memorial. In verse 14, it says, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast to the Lord throughout your generations. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. In verse 7 of 1 Corinthians 5, it says, Paul is writing to the Corinthians, he says, therefore purge out the old leaven. Just like the Israelites, the symbol that they weren't supposed to have leaven in the house. Purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you are truly unleavened. For indeed, Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. The symbolism of the unblemished lamb and Jesus, the perfect sacrifice. He is our Passover. Who partakes of the Lord's Supper? Who participates when we have the Lord's Supper? Who is it for? Who partakes? Christians do. Christians are remembering, and it is a memorial of Christ. Who is the focus? The focus is Jesus, the sacrifice that was made for us. In verses 24 and 25, in our reading in 1 Corinthians, he says, do this in remembrance of me. When we're doing it, our focus is on Jesus, nothing else. That is something that it's easy to stray. And God wants us, Jesus wants us, to remember the sacrifice, the memorial that he was the Passover for us, the Christians. When do we do it? This is a situation, and don't want to step on any toes, but there's religious groups. They'll do it on Friday night. They'll do it Saturday afternoon. They'll do it Saturday night. Sunday. It seems like you just, you know, anytime you want. We use our example from the Bible. In Acts 20, verse 7, it says, now on the first day of the week, which is Sunday. Now on the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, we see in the first century, they came together for the purpose of the Lord's Supper, to break bread and remember. Paul, ready to depart the next day, spoke to them and continued his message till midnight. When they came together for the purpose of breaking bread on the first day of the week. That's how they started their week out. We, just like the examples we find in the New Testament, we participate in this memorial, the first day of the week, and remember the sacrifice that Jesus gave for us. Where do we partake of it? Wherever we come together. We see Christians in the first century, they met in homes. We can meet in homes. We can meet in a rented facility like this. We can build a facility. The where is not important. The where is where we come together as a body. That's the important thing. We could meet across the street in the park. It's where we come together to break bread on the first day of the week and to worship our God. The where is kind of insignificant. It's the fact that we're doing it. How do we do it? How do we partake of the Lord's Supper? In 1 Corinthians 11, the passage we'd started with later on, the next couple of verses, and starting in verse 27, after Paul explained about taking the Lord's Supper, he says, therefore, I remember a preacher saying once in a sermon, whenever you see therefore, you ask yourself, and it tells you why it's therefore. Therefore, because of. Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself. That's sometimes tough to do. It's uncomfortable to do sometimes. To stare back into you. But let a man examine himself. And so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. For he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. When we come together on the first day of the week to commune with the Lord, to commune with God for the sacrifice that he gave us, we need to examine ourselves, making sure that we're coming together with the fellow Christians to do it properly. that our heart and our mind and our hearts are focused on that. Why? Why do we take the Lord's Supper? One, in verse 24 and 25, Jesus said to. Jesus says, do this in remembrance of me. Jesus said to do it. That is enough. Because he commanded us to do that, that should be enough for us. In verse 26, we also, we have a reason, we proclaim the Lord's death. By participating in the Lord's Supper, we are remembering and proclaiming the death of our Lord. And we're also professing our belief and faith by doing it. In Matthew 10, verse 32 and 33, these are the words of Jesus. He says, therefore, whoever confesses me, and that's one of the things we're doing when we're partaking of the Lord's Supper, we are confessing our belief. Why do it if you don't believe it? Therefore, whoever confesses me before men, him I will also confess before my Father who is in heaven. But whoever denies me before men, him I will also deny before my Father who is in heaven. Now I'd like to close this lesson today about the Lord's Supper with the scripture Preston read earlier. 1 Peter 3:15, the Apostle Peter, who was there the night Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. He says, but sanctify the Lord in your hearts and always be ready to give a defense to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. This is pertaining more to our hope and our belief of salvation, but it applies to everything we do. It applies to why we worship the way we do. It applies to taking the Lord's Supper the way we do, to give a defense, just like the Israelites, when God commanded Moses, when the children ask what these stones are for, you can tell them. And that carried on for generations and generations. Same as Passover and the Lord's Supper. When our children, our grandchildren, a neighbor, a visitor that comes in with us, why do you take a bite of cracker, of unleavened bread? Why do you take a sip of the fruit of the vine? We can give a defense to everyone who asks. Hopefully, this lesson could be literally on any Sunday, but today when the world is remembering, I hope they remember a little more often than once a year, but when the world is remembering the fact that our Savior rose from the dead, he died for us, like Paul says, I declare to know nothing but Christ and him crucified. And on the third day he rose. If you know that much, you can proclaim the gospel. If you need to respond to an invitation of the gospel, if you need to put your Lord on in baptism, one of the slides was, who partakes of the Lord's Supper? Christians partake of the Lord's Supper. And when you're baptized and put your Lord on in baptism, the Lord adds you to the church and you become a Christian. If you need to put your Lord on in baptism, if you need prayers of your brothers and sisters, if you need to repent of sins, if something is keeping you in your life, if sin is separating you from God, you want to take away whatever is keeping you from God. Repent of those sins. If you would like to identify yourself as working here with us at South Valley, you don't join us. The Lord adds you to the church. But if you'd like to worship with us here at South Valley, we would love to have you. We'll put you to work. Whatever your need, if you would come while Curtis leads us in the invitation, will address your needs. Let's stand and sing.